Blog Talk Radio.
Olive Garden's never-ending first course is always on us with every delicious entree. Garden fresh salad, on us. Homemade soup, on us. Now as for the breadsticks, who are we kidding? They're on us too. Only at Olive Garden.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Yo, when it comes to cutting it up, there is no other than my brother, DJ Cash Money. You better recognize the real. This is Africa Bambaataa signing off with the almighty Universal Zulu Nation. Peace!
You see now everybody around the nation, I'm going to give you some inspiration. Everybody around the nation, I'm going to give you some inspiration. You see now everybody around the nation, I'm going to give you some inspiration. You see now everybody around the nation, I'm going to give you some inspiration. You see now everybody around the nation. You see now everybody around. You see now everybody around the nation. You see now everybody around the nation, I'm going to give you some inspiration, and stimulation, cause I have to fulfill my obligation. They'll set you on a little vacation, but you don't need a reservation, cause now I need your cooperation, without a note, a hesitation, cause I got to keep my reputation. See, I go by the name of Aussie LaRock, I rock your body around the clock, I like a tick-a-tick-a-tock, tick-a-tick-a-tock, a tick-a-tick-a-tock, tick-a-tick-a-tock, a tick-a-tick-a-tock, tick-a-tick-a-tock, a tick-a-tick-a-tock, tick a tock, tick tock, a tick a tick a tock, tick a tock, tick tock, a tick a tick a tock, tick a tick, tick tock, a tick a tick a tock, around the clock, and I'm coming at you with the future shot. I got more rhyme than Wall Street. I got stock, y'all. Yes, I do, y'all. You see, now when I rock, I make your ears explode. Now I'ma take your mind in the next episode. Now I was walking down the yellow brick road, and on the rock was the ugly toady. I looked at him and began to run. I ran into a lot of guns, and I turned around cause I was on the go. I bumped into a dead crow. Then I ran as fast as I can, and I was stopped by a tin man. Then I asked him which way to go. They just stared at me cause they didn't know that I was starting to shiver, was starting to shake, but didn't know which a road to take. And then the line had a hitch and began to twitch. The toe turned in into a witch. She was a bigger bad than the ugliest can be. I ran fast and the maze succeeded. I leaped in the air to such a degree that all over my head flew among me. It was almost the break of dawn. Then the big bad witch to wake the one. Then I fell to the ground and dig on my knees, and the sky was filled with a flying monkey. I was on the ground and we began to wrestle. It took me away to an unknown castle. The castle was dark and very scary, but I was hoping upon the a good fairy as the witch just looked in my eyes as she tried to try to hypnotize. And then I compromised and I analyzed the real specialized, and I realized that I memorized the way to go home. I knew I wasn't in the twilight zone. So along came my dog by the name of Toto. I grabbed the mic and we was on the go. Then I picked up a mic, I started to talk, I started to rock this big New York. Cause at the age of one I was on the run, and this is when my fun begun. Cause at the age of two I was able to do a roll, a joint, a big bamboo. At the age of three I could clearly see why I am no mystery. You just listen to me and you will agree.
had my kicks, and now I'm here right now with a hat of tricks. I reach in my hat, I pull out a rabbit, and if you're quick, you might grab it. Then I reach in the hat, I pull out a wand, and now I'm gonna rock it to the record like a donut. Then I reach in the hat, I pull out a mic, and now I'm gonna do it just a bunch of life. Cause at the age of 7, I went to heaven, I couldn't look back until I made 11. But at the age of 8, I came back to great, and now I have the power to create. I have a rhyme time beat that'll make you freak. You all know that I'm unique.
This is the talker, Wanda Walker, on air now from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Please remember to press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Hello, people. Good evening. Let's get into a very touchy topic that shouldn't be touchy, the sexuality and politics, or the sexuality of politics, or the sexuality in politics. However you want to say it, we're here to talk about it tonight because this is important. It shouldn't be important anymore. We should be on more important issues, so we need to get past this. So I need people who are listening to chime in and call in because I need to have other people's inputs on this. So I'm going to start off with some questions. I'm here tonight with a good friend, Tina Collins, and she's going to help me with this topic. And together we're going to tag team and get this done tonight and make it fun, respectful, and considerate of everyone. So I want to hear everyone give their opinions or inputs so we can have a better understanding at the end of the night. So I'm going to read off some questions here to you. And, okay, I'm going to start with number one, sexual preference and the influence it has on political policymaking. I want people to keep that in mind. Now, when we talk about this, remember that I'm from Philly, but the issues that I touch on are the same issues across the United States and across the world. Philly is a very big city with a very large here. We have in Chicago and other places, Los Angeles, you name it. So my next question is the gay factor in politics and how it affects policymaking, for better or for worse. What do you all think about that? How important is a person's sexual preference to do a job? Now, this is very important right here, and I know my co-host tonight, Tina Collins, has something to say about that, so I'm going to give her about 30 seconds, and she's going to chime in. My fourth one, are there certain jobs better suited for straight people or certain jobs better suited for people who aren't straight? Sounds stupid and idiotic, but we got to put it out there because we want to address this topic and get past this topic or better understand what's going on that has us so divided when there's so many other things that are important in Philadelphia and across the world. Why is a person's sexuality so important to other people? Like, if they're not doing you, why does it concern you? Okay? So, Tina, I'm going to ask you on question number three, which was, how important is a person's sexual preference to doing the job? What do you have to say about that?
I have to say that's an asinine question.
Okay.
I say it's an asinine question because when most jobs, whether it's in the political arena or any type of profession, they don't ask what your sexual preference is. It's of no importance, and it shouldn't be. And to imply that your sexuality or your sexual preference could influence your ability to do any job, it's an asinine question. Because if we're going to go in on sexuality, not just preference, but sexuality, that's a Pandora's box of issues.
Yes, it is.
For straight and gay. So it shouldn't be even considered a thought to be considered if a person's sexual orientation is non-heterosexual and I decide to become a bus driver or I'm gay and I decide to become a teacher.
Where do you think this is coming from? Where's the root of these concerns, questions, and issues coming from?
That doesn't fit the norm, or what was once considered the norm is under attack. Everything. It doesn't matter. Everything from sexuality to religion, everything is being attacked in an effort to continue to divide our country on various issues. If I have the choice, when I go into the voting booth and I have a choice on that ballot of who to choose from, this sexual preference is not the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
And it shouldn't be.
Never. It's about choosing a person based on their sexuality is as stupid as choosing a person based on their color. And when I think about the different topic situations for you to start thinking, because sometimes when you're not around certain things or involved, it never enters your mind. But what I find myself doing now and in the past is when I see anyone or any situation that's not being treated fairly, I take whatever that title is or subject and I replace it with black. You follow me? So when it becomes a gay issue, I remove the word gay and say black. We used to be treated that way. So how is it that we fought for all of this and then we allow or stand back and watch other people be treated that way? And I know sexuality is like a different type of subject, but it really isn't. Once you get past a certain age, and we talked about this earlier, like I can see someone having a concern if it pertains to something pertaining to their young child. But if you're doing something in your house and that's not my house, why am I concerned? But that shouldn't be. How many other issues do we have in Philadelphia that are so much more important than something like this? And yet it persists.
Touch on what you said when you talked about the discrimination and unfairness in the treatment and how you substitute black when it applies to other subjects. The one thing about being black, you can't change that.
Yes.
You can't hide that. You can hide your sexuality. You can hide your religion. You can hide almost any and everything about you, but you cannot hide the color of your skin. So the injustices that African Americans or blacks have endured, it may be similar. Other groups may be experiencing some of it, but they will never experience it to the degree and the extent that African Americans and blacks have experienced in this country. That's the first thing. The second thing is I learned a long time ago, because I've been gay all my life. All my life. In kindergarten, I had a girlfriend. Her name was Sabrina. I'll never forget her. I've known all my life. It's never been an issue. But one thing that I have learned all my history is that when I encounter people who are just straight up homophobic, it's because of their own insecurity. It's because of their inability to accept some part of who they are, that they are still in denial of that. I discovered that I was homophobic. I've been gay all my life. I'm in New York walking down the street with my wife, and she wants to hold my hand, and I want to hold her hand. And she said, oh, my God, you're
homophobic. Does that make you homophobic or just maybe afraid for your safety?
We're in New York. I could see if we were walking at New Hope TX somewhere. We were on Broadway. You can't have a more welcoming.
Could you be called conservative, maybe?
No. She was right.
Okay.
She was right. When she identified me as having some form of homophobia was my inability to be open out in public and show affection with her. Not that I was ashamed of who I was, but I just didn't think you could do that. And when she said it, it was like, oh, my God. It was startling to me because, like I said, I've been getting all my life.
Mm-hmm.
But to be in public, and not welcome the opportunity to hold the hand of the woman I love in the most welcoming place of gay for gay folks, it was a shocker. 5 minutes after that, we were dancing on Broadway. So that's why I say it had to be brought to my attention that even though I thought I had accepted who I was okay with who I was, I accepted it. How could I be embarrassed by it? And it's so small, embarrassment that small that can cause people ownership of who they are.
I want to say something. Like if you feel, and I know it's hard because different things are different for different people. Not everybody has the heart of a lion.
Mm-hmm.
But in politics, this particular primary, we had some people that ran openly gay. And when I first heard it, I was like, well, what does their bedroom preference have to do with their political policy making? Mm-hmm. I don't care to know that. But once I was in the atmosphere or the company of all the stuff I was seeing during the primaries, I realized something. It takes a lot of guts, number one. It shows a lot of heart, honesty. And once you put that out there, then someone else trying to make an issue of something they shouldn't has to stick to the issues that are really important. If you are willing to hide who you really are from the people that you want to support you and you're asking them for their vote, you want that you want to represent them, then what else will you not do to make sure you keep a secret? Like, how good of a representative and how good of a person could you be in politics if you let someone bully you? Because it takes a certain type of personality, like a fighter, I would think. But everybody has their reasons. But I'm thinking, to be a representative, I'm thinking about, like, back in the day representatives, Malcolm X, Dr. King, H. Rap Brown, and others. You say it how it is, and you want respect, and you want people to demand give you respect.
But the people you mentioned weren't in politics.
They were activists.
But they were not in politics per se, the arena of politics. Just like any position that holds or yields any kind of power or influence, you are always going to have people attacking you. They're going to find any and everything to attack you with. And if you don't have the wherewithal, if you don't have the total self-acceptance that a lot of gay politicians are now stepping out with, you're not going to be able to withstand it.
Exactly.
The reason, and like you said, unfortunately, the climate in the political arena right now, it's not about policy. It's not about unification of our country. It's about conquer and divide. And do that, they're going to come out and use whatever weapon they think will be effective. So if they are running against someone who is openly gay, they're going to try and use that. But they lose that power when that person steps into the arena and says, I'm gay, so now what?
And that's what I like. I thought of it the other way.
Yeah, what's your next shot? Yeah. You have nothing. You have no
So community. Now let's stick to the topic and the things that affect our constituents.
If they come at them trying to attack their sexual preference and they realize that's no longer a weapon, they're not going to find something else because they have nothing. I mean, look at our presidential candidates right now. Nobody's talking about issues. None of them, Democrat or Republican. It's a circus. They're name calling because they don't have. When I see stuff like that, it tells me that they're not in it for the people. They're in it for personal gain. Because if I was in it to improve the condition of my people, I could care less what you said. I could care less what you do, and I damn sure could care less who you sleep with.
Yeah.
How can we work together to resolve the issues that we're facing? How can we address this violence in our country? How can we curtail it? How can we redirect misdirected youth? These are issues.
Yes.
Why aren't we talking about that as opposed to trying to determine if Tina Collins is gay or if she can be had? Because you know the first thing men think when they see a gay woman. All she needs is a good dick.
Well, guess what? When they see a straight woman like me, they say the same thing.
But I hate to tell them. I hate to tell them a secret. Very few women have orgasms through penetration. So that's a whole other topic, okay? But I'm just saying, you know, so.
All right, caller. I mean, let's call in here. We just went there.
And I say that, we say that jokingly, but it's so important.
It is important.
That, you know, I can do a job effectively whether I'm straight, whether I'm heterosexual, where I'm abstinent. You know, God knows, you know, we go through periods of abstinence, at least I do, because I don't just pick up anybody. You know, I ended up 17-year marriage. I ain't been in no rush to jump in another one. So I've been abstinent. Can I still do my job? Yeah.
Yeah. Listen. Can we move past this people, sexuality of a person, to concentrate on more important issues? There are so many more important issues across the world. You know, we have crime, education, housing, lack of jobs, lack of education, economic futures, city services, political corruption. And when you think about this, which question?
You have a question here. What can gay politicians bring to the table?
Okay. Hold that thought. Track next by international DJ legend Brother O.
Right.
we're going to start with the next question. If we have so many straight and or closeted people in politics and we're going to hell in a handbasket, then why not think about doing it a little bit differently and accept or welcome or try to do something different, like accept the fact that someone wants to be openly honest or does not telling the truth just go hand in hand with politics? What do you think about that, Tina?
Much. In a gay politician doesn't mean that they're perfectly honest. That's
the thing. Well, it seems to me that politics and honesty doesn't go together. Most of the time. Now, we have a couple of few really special, really good ones. But for the majority, honesty and politics just don't go together.
So, again, sexual preference and politics really shouldn't matter. Currently, there are 1,023 elected officials that are openly gay around the country.
1,028,
which is a 7.1% increase since 2017. An increase. But, again, of that group, you know, what is their job performance? They're, you know, are we monitoring? Are we keeping close track on how effective they are as elected officials? Now that we know they're gay, that's out of the picture. We put them in position.
So we want to keep a monitor on who they're sleeping with instead of what they're actually doing for us.
We should be trying to keep track on how effective they are in their job. Just like any job, everybody gets a job performance, whatever. Everybody gets rated. Your yearly performance. That's what we should be looking at, not their sexual preference. And chances are, like I said, I don't know what it is about politics, this is what I've discovered. When people step into that arena, it changes.
Yes.
So they may be coming in with the purest of hearts. They may be coming with the sole mission of changing the world.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in that,
the
water at City Hall might be poisoning them or brainwashing them.
The air at City Hall.
Or it could just well be what we all suffer with.
Ego tripping.
Ego. And we fall in love with the power.
The power. Listeners, I need you to press 1 and come on in with some comments. I know everyone out here listening. We have 23 million listeners worldwide. We have 9,000 Philadelphia metropolitan. Know everyone is out there listening, and you can't be afraid to chime in. It's not saying press 1 and join the conversation. Give us your 2 cents on this topic, you know, positive or negative. What do you suggest? You know, what is it about politics and sexuality, politics and not telling the truth, that is so much of a problem and takes up so much of our time to the the real issues, like our being educated, not having jobs, being in a city with development, and this goes, and the very people in the city don't even the housing or what's going on. It's like we get to stand in our own and watch everybody else benefit from it while we sit up here.
Hey, Wanda.
And get...
Hey, Wanda. I'm sorry to cut you, but it's fading in and out, so. You got to get close to the mic. And what's going to happen, too, as one is talking, then the other answer. That way it won't be so cross. So just a little bit timing. And I want to thank our guest today. You know, highly intelligent. I appreciate you coming on this radio network tonight. All right, back to you, Wanda.
Thank you.
Okay. So I say we keep wanting to pay attention to things like someone's sexuality, it's like the smoke screen so that you don't pay attention to the fact that this person is very qualified, more than willing, and will do a good job. Someone somewhere, whoever's running these different parties, whoever is pulling the puppet strings, they don't want to see us do good, come together, and serve the community. So they come up with all these divisions that have nothing to do with the issues at hand. It makes no sense for what we're seeing in all these cities across the world. You have representatives, they have a job to do, and yet they want to bring us chicken in the summertime, picnic and music, you know, music, calm the savage beast, and then they want to turn around and give us a turkey at Christmas and think that that's okay. It's not. That's not their job. We have community activists and community community activists and stuff and community people that do all of that. Our representatives and our politicians are supposed to bring back the resources, the money, the jobs, and the things that really make a difference in our community, not the chicken, not the book bags, not the turkey. So I need you all out there to press 1 because I don't want it to be just me and Atina and Wanda conversation all night. I really want people to chime in on this subject. And it is a maybe taboo subject, maybe to some, but everyone seems to have an opinion. So I need some people to call in and give some opinions on some of the issues that we have brought up. Now, next question. Do you have more respect for someone who disclosed or not? Would you rather your representatives, politicians, family members, friends keep their preference to themselves and you guess, wonder, or spread rumors, or do you accept the fact that when they disclose? Next question. Okay, Tina, how do you think about that, or how do you feel about that? So do I.
They make a statement. It's out there. Okay, let's move on. Now what?
Okay.
That's it. I mean, and you have to respect people who know, who understand that their belief systems or their norms might not parallel with the norms of society. But once they make that statement, hey, this is who I am, this is what I believe, this is what I do, okay, let's move on. I respect that.
All right, so my next question was, what are the positives of running openly gay? But I think you already said it. Like, once you put it out there, they can't use it against you. Now what? Now everybody's looking at your qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
They're admiring you for being truthful because you don't see that in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And or they might have a problem, but now they know and they can go ahead about their business. You can't please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
How does having gay politicians affect family, community, and policies, politics in general? I don't think that it really, I know you're doing that face look again, but I'm asking the questions that you hear and we hear, and then I'm just putting it out there because I would think when I gave it some thought that person who has gone through all the things that Black people have to go through, women have to go through, gay people have to go through, are more sensitive to other people's issues and needs, more considerate, and they might be better understanding. Go ahead, Tina. What do you think?
Well, it's no question that most gay people or most people who do not follow the norms of society are very empathetic to underdogs or people less fortunate, because we've had to endure so much. And we understand it's only through endurance, going through, getting to the other side, that we become stronger people. And we try to be the example for others to follow. So when you have someone or people that are underserved, that's how we bring more compassion to the position of a politician. When we have groups, or areas or neighborhoods that are more or underserved, we're more compassionate because of what we've had to endure. So that is an aspect that people of color and people who don't follow the norm of society bring to the position of a politician, because we've had to endure more. So we're not privileged. So we understand what the struggle means, and that's why it becomes important to help others not have to struggle as much. So,
all right. My next question, I'm going to go. I think I have about 30, 40 questions here. Oh, because you're answering all the questions. We're putting it out there. I know people are listening because we have our numbers. God versus Gabe. It's amazing how people take certain parts of the Bible and not the other. So chime in on that, Tina. What do you think about that?
I'm going to share with everyone something I shared with you, right?
Yes.
If I ever got hard up and was desperate for a relationship, and was desperate for a relationship, or just sex, first place I go is to church.
I keep laughing.
I'm telling you, with my experiences, that's the first place I would go. Now, as far as God versus gays, the night I came out to my family, I got on my knees, and I prayed to God. I've always prayed to God. And I said, God, you know what's in my heart? You know what I desire. If you choose for me to have something different, please bring him along. Bring him to me. He ain't showed up yet.
Say, hold that thought. Track next by the international DJ legend, Brother O. After this, yes.
When you come inside my TV, as I've said before, you can sense the danger when you're stung about the reppin' ranger. With silver and eye, take a ride. All you kids better step aside. I see the squads then run away. Ho! Silver is what I'll say. Ho! We'll be right back.
rock it out, finger popping to the break of dawn. Keep it rocking like the stuff that we call me. Hot butter popcorn. You just give a hop a dip a pop a bang the boogie. You're wicked back, you wanna boogie again. You can put me to the test at your request. I rock you out of your moccasins. Kimo Sala got down, took off his mask. He kicked off the shooting, did the monster mash. Thomas came along, saw what was happening. His head began to bop on his foot, start to pat and go slam. Dunk, do the jerk. And with the mic is how my smoke signals work. They were jamming off a record that said it best. Now what you hear is not a test.
And we are back, and we have caller number one in the queue. Hello, caller number one, are you there? Hello, hello.
Caller number one, you're live and direct right now on the talker. Can you hear us? All right, we're going to put him back on ice. Why don't we do another caller right here, call number two, right here on the talker.
Number two.
Hi, Wanda. This is Mo Garment calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for calling in.
Problem at all. That's a pretty hot topic you have, a couple of them there. Some politicians, I think, lie more than others, but I think they're actually encouraged to lie in order to get votes. You see it mostly in the commercials when there's an election going on. They're not fact-checked anymore. It used to be that you fact-checked and it became a big to-do. Now we've got a president that, you know, the scandal is bigger than Watergate, and it's like, you know, he talks about things and they're just not true, and people take it as gospel. So it's just a really difficult time we're living in right now.
It is. And that's why I'm wondering how come this is such, with all the changes taking place, this still stands and remains taboo. And, you know, it just makes no sense to me with so many other issues going on
that
are affecting your house, your family, your community. Why are so many people fixated on someone's sexual preference? And do you have a right or reason to be that way? Like, if you're fixating on this, you're fixating on this why, because it's going to hurt you how, versus looking at someone's character. And again, as I explained to Tina, when I'm around my straight friends, people say and do things differently. But when I hear people say something wrong or make a joke, I'm not saying that I always say, oh, wait a minute, but I ask myself, and I tell them, and I'll say, hey, that's not right, maybe, depending on how deep it is or severe it is. But I always am mindful, and I'll take out whatever that is and put in black or black woman, and then I ask myself, how would I feel if I was being treated that way? You know, because there's so many atrocities across the world. There's so many times in history, different people, multiple people, different colors, races, creeds, and everything have been oppressed, held down, held back, discriminated against? And why is this okay? We should be moving to a better world.
Agreed, but with the Supreme Court overturning the things that they've been overturning, it makes you wonder. Sexual orientation doesn't matter much, shouldn't matter at all, really, and the focus should be on integrity. But like I said, when you have a court system telling people that it's okay to discriminate and say that you don't want to serve a person because of their sexual orientation, then the next thing that's coming is race, and then after that, it'll be culture.
Yes.
You know, it's like you can't, this shouldn't have happened, but it did.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a slippery slope because we're seeing it, just like you said, that's a very good point. You start on one thing, then it ends up being colleges, and then the next thing, you know, abortion rights, you know. And you're going to see, I believe we're going to see a division in the United States and the world where certain parts, you might not even be able to travel.
I agree.
You look or act or think a certain way, and it's going to be like a civil war or a civil division, you know. And why, when there are so many other things that are important and there's so many great things we can do together if we just learn to be respectful and accept people for who it doesn't mean that you have to change. Maybe you're thinking and being nice, but it's like someone else that wants to be a certain, that doesn't, if you're strong in your character and your beliefs, you stay where you are. But that doesn't mean you need to disrespect somebody else or stop somebody else from making a living or anything else. And I just want to touch on that are different and bring them to the forefront, because these are things we talk about in closed rooms, behind people's backs. You don't bring it to the front, and that's why we don't resolve issues or get a better understanding. You know, and knowledge is key. Respect is key. You know, we have to.
But we have horrible, not to cut you off, we have horrible examples. We have, like I said, we have the man in the highest office in the land, and he's been racist at times. He's been belligerent at times. He's been blatantly offensive at times. And you don't expect that, you know, with a leader. Even if you agree or disagree with him, I think those points are pretty valid. And if you can't see that he has those traits, then there's something wrong, I guess, with your internal sense of barometry. I would dare say that you might have to take a look inside.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with politics to see a person's integrity. You don't have to agree with their politics to see, you know, the way that they move, you know?
You're absolutely right. Thank you for your comments tonight. I appreciate you listening, and thank you very much.
No problem. Have a good night.
I want to go on to the – thank you, you as well. I want to go on to the next question. She brought up a very, very good point, Tina. Trump, the person holds the highest or held the highest office, and Biden's not too far behind. When you have people like this in office, they set the tone. And if memory serves me right, a lot of the nonsense we see happening now wasn't happening before. When you have things certain ways that hold the highest office, then that's like a green light for other people to start acting up. And I actually saw this firsthand when Trump first took office, 2016, right, in my son's school. We had teachers saying things you couldn't believe to black students. And black students, this high school now, were afraid to go to class with certain teachers and certain students. Because once the president said these racist, discriminatory things and blah, 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 the teachers started doing it. And the next minute you know, the students thought that they could do it. And We had Channel 6 there before it was over with because of me, because they were like, well, who called them? I did. This needs to be talked of. This needs to be exposed because this behavior is not acceptable. So that's a very good point. What do you think about that?
You know, they for people to start now associating the division in our country as a direct result of Trump's actions, attitude, and behavior. I'm going to say that very slowly.
Okay.
It's
always been there.
It's always been there. And what his followers failed to realize, what his followers failed to realize, prior to Trump getting into politics, he had been blackballed in this country. There was not a business or a bank that would do business with him. That's why he had to start going outside of the country to get backing. He was blackballed. And that had nothing to do with the justice system leading a crusade against Trump. It was a direct result of who he is. He
bad business.
Nepotism doesn't begin to describe this man. Lunatic doesn't begin to describe this man. And when he got elected, prior to him getting elected, he made it very clear about what he was about who he was about. When he ridiculed handicapped people, when he talked about grabbing women because that's what they want, because he's famous. The list is endless on his behavior prior to getting elected. Now, what he failed to realize is that the people that put him in office did so that they could have a scapegoat to do the things that they always wanted to do.
Yes.
Their microaggressions was no longer, there was no need, there was no longer a need for microaggressions. They could be open and blatant about their racism. This country has been on a vindictive move since Obama got elected. They could not believe that a black man could get elected, and they've been on a vindictive hunt ever since. So when Trump showed up in his ignorance, he was being used to give them the green light to do what they had been wanting to do, which is to openly display their hatred and racism.
You're absolutely right. Hold that thought. Track next by international DJ legend Brother O.
Only the strong can survive, it's called survival. Only the strong can survive, it's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival. They smile in your face and they talk behind your back. And when you get the story, it's never that. Some say they're your friends, but they really are not. Because they're only out to try and get what you've got. Survival. Only the strong can survive, it's called survival. Only the strong can survive, it's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival. In jail they got a game and they call it survival. They run it down to you on your first arrival. They tell you what you can and what you cannot do. So if you ever go to jail, watch your it's called survival. Only the strong can survive, it's called survival. Only the strong can survive, it's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival.
Every day last week, but it turned into a crazy game of hide and seek. Because every place I seemed to look, a job wasn't fair. I might as well apply for food stamps or welfare. It's called survival. And only the strong can survive. It's called survival. And only the strong can survive. It's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival. Life hurts. Ideals are wrong, huh? You're hurting people's feelings. feelings and mess with their minds. Then have the nerve to call me brother and wave the peace sign. The young and the old, they all hate your sight because of people like you that's here to walk in the night. It's called survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. And only the strong can survive. It's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival. The problems of the world today are bigger than life. You have recessions and depressions. Men are cheating on their wives. Babies born each morn with part of their bodies gone because of some crazy drug that their mothers was on. There's countries fighting, not uniting, always putting each other down. Blacks and whites don't realize that they're really pink and brown. You got guns, dope, cutthroat, stress and strife. And looking out for number one is a way of life. It's called survival. And only the strong can survive. It's called survival. And only the strong can survive. It's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival. You got to lock all your windows, chain up all your doors to protect what's inside of your houses and stores. Beware of the food, it might be no good, cause there's someone trying to poison the whole neighborhood. Huh. Today they found something in somebody's store. They said killed 10 people and hurt 4 more. They can't even trust a bill to make life easier when there's sudden death on your roasted freezer. Survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival. About to lose your mind because life is hard. Yet you believe in everything but God. Those pretty women, lots of money, yeah, that's all right. But don't you ever forget the man with the might. Now get a hold of yourself, man. Think positive because that's definitely the only way to live. Don't let your mind flow like water from a cup. And don't you ever let me hear you say that you're giving up. It's called survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival. Remember, a child is born with no state of mind. He was blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. Huh. Survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. And only the strong can survive. It's called survival. In order to stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival.
Unmuted. Hello, we're back, and we have some more guests at the table tonight. So we're going to go into the next question, and the next question would be, do we need pronouns? Now, my pronouns are I, me, we, us, and unity. So Tina, we talked about this earlier as well. What do you think about all of this pronoun and things like that? Are these titles necessary? And you have to be close to the mic to answer. Okay. So pronouns.
No, I don't think they're necessary.
Okay. Have they taken it too far?
I think they've taken it too far.
Okay.
Again, my whole thing is, I shouldn't have to identify my sexuality when introducing myself. That's the bottom line.
So you're not. So who is pushing this agenda? I'm trying to figure out, why? Like, why? This is not making any sense to me.
Yeah, I have no idea why a person's sexual preference has to be at the forefront.
Go ahead.
Be at the forefront of any conversation.
So with the different, do you know what they are and what
you
is
know,
it? The he, she, them?
Look, it's what you choose to identify yourself with. You can choose. So if, even though I'm female, I can choose to be referred to as he. I can take that on if I choose to. That's the choice. That's a personal choice. And again, I just find all of that unnecessary and totally confusing.
So my next question to you, explain the alphabet.
I don't understand the alphabet.
Okay, so let me go to Brother O. I need some help here, Brother O. Are you there? Can you help
me? Give me a lifeline. Yeah, I am here. First of all, I'm going to tell you something, wonderful guest. When I travel, and I'm a globetrotter, I wanted to tell you that. When I travel, okay, I go in as non-binary. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I have had the best non-binary first-class treatment. Thank you, United Airlines, fly the friendly skies. And when I go, I have my attaché case. I'm pulling it. Yeah, I'm playing the part. I'm heterosexual, but I'm non-binary. So you can't call me he. Can't call me nothing but my name, Oladele. So, boom, I get to the airport. They're walking on eggshells, right? Hey, oh, how are you? How are you, Bravo? How are you, Oladele? I'm fine. They know they better not call me he, she, whatever. I'm non-binary. And it's to the point where now I'm in the front of the line because I'm non-binary. And I know this is a game that they play. That's why I love what the guest has said. What does it matter, right? You know, but at the airport, it was just me and the Chinese guy, right? First class, we got on the airplane first. And had a great time. Champagne, wishes, and caviar dreams. And now back to Wanda Walker and the talker.
Okay, so non-binary means nothing more than just your name. Correct, Brother
just me.
O?
Who I am, period. Call me Oladele, and that's it.
Okay. Go ahead, Tina.
So at what point, when you get reservation, did you have to identify that you were non-binary? I've traveled.
It's on the list. And United Airlines, American Airlines, Delta, it's on the list. And I played with it, sister. And I'm like, you know what? Okay. And I noticed how people are being treated, right? I said, you know what? I'm going to play this game too. You know what I mean? So I checked it off as non-binary. And I'm telling you, I've had an outstanding aeronautic
treatment.
Flight.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that.
I
learned something, and I'm actually going to use that in my flight. Anything that gets to me. Now, mind you, I've been to many countries, and believe it or not, we actually get treated as royalties in other countries. But flying over there, not necessarily, but I'm going to try the non-binary title to see how effective it is in my flights. Thank you.
Okay. You heard it. So, we have some guests here. Let's see. I heard from Brother O. Tina's here. We have some other guests here. So, let's move on with the questions. I'm asking the questions, and we need the answers. So, we talked about this. I asked Tina now, after we go to another break, we're going to come back, and we are going to break down this alphabet. And what's acceptable, not acceptable, or understood or not understood. This is just unbelievable. You learn something new every day. I wish my friend Pat Edouard would call in because he had made a statement one time to me that's similar to what you said, Brother O. You're saying that
you know, you do the non-binary and you get this excellent treatment. Pat told me, he said, posing as a gay black man in the workforce will get you further than being a straight black man in the workforce or male in the workforce. And I was like, wow. So, Tina, tap in for me and tell me all about that.
I believe that because a gay man is less threatening than a masculine man.
Oh, she hit it on the nail. Brother, do you have anything you want to say about that?
The young lady is perfectly correct. Listen, the young lady is perfectly correct. I'm not going to deny my masculinity. I'm heterosexual. However, like I said before, I play the game. You know, life is the game. You're players or you're square. And you use these things for your advantage. That's it. You know, that's it. That's all of it. And, you know, like the young lady said, she's gay. And she said the LGBTQ community, LGBTQ plus
and
minus community, because question mark. You know, they have a question mark now. They don't know if they're gay or not, so they're part of the community too. And that means you're trisexual. Now, you're bisexual. You don't know what you are. But, however, in the trying, with the using of the alphabet, we have to respect everybody. If you are a question mark, there should be no discrimination for a question mark. I know, that just sounds like the young lady used the word earlier, asinine. Yes, they're lesbians. They're gay. They're queers. Yeah, listen, they're lesbians, gays, queers, transgenders, and plus. Minus, that means minus. Hold on. Minus means you're not. That doesn't make sense. So it should be a minus in that community. And then it should be a question mark. You know, you should know who you are. But then you got people who are trying to find their way. So they are question marks. Oh, boy. Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm going to go to a track. I'm going to go to a track. But we're going to get the next call on after this track. And I'm telling you, man, we need some wonders out here, man. Eighth Wonder, y'all. Let's get it.
Clap your hands, everybody. And everybody just clap your hands. I'm fly girls, clap your hands. I'm fly guys, clap your hands.
Well, if you're feeling all right and you think you're on,
jump out there and let me know.
Well, everybody in the place, put a whistle in your face.
Scream it out and say, yo, hey.
You don't stop. I like the rhythm that makes your finger pop. I said, hip-hop, and thanks a lot. Come on, everybody, give me what you got.
I'm going to tell you a little story about the Sugar Hill Gang.
With the pow-pow boogie and a big bang-bang.
And if you want to rap to the Sugar Hill beat,
got
to
rap in the key of R-A-P. Now that is over, I'm ready to jam. Want all your people to clap your hands. Tonight we're gonna scream and shout. We're gonna turn this mother sucker out. To all of your people that are ready to jam, scream it out and say, I am.
I am.
Somebody.
Somebody.
Now you know you're hot.
See, I met this girl and I said to her, honey, if you wanna be my baby, you got to give me money. Turned around, didn't mean no harm. I knocked her out with my bitch's charm. I said, no, no, baby, it's not like that. You see, I'm all about making that cold, cold cash. Started jiving around, started messing with her head. The next thing I know, she wanted to go to. But you turned me on, you got to be the best. Cause I'm the master G, I don't take no mess. Like TNT, I'm dynamite. You see, I rock your body to the early light. And when you wake up in the morning, you'll see I'm gonna check it out, girl. You're all alone, cause you just been hit by the Capricorn King. I rock you too, I rock you me. I rock you in and I rock you out. You made me scream, but I made you shout. Yo, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diggy, diggy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diggy, diggy.
See, you slap my back, it's around my neck.
Woo-ha!
Got the mold and check. See, you slap my back, it's around my neck.
Woo-ha!
Got the mold and check.
Let's scream, let's shout. Let's turn this function out and keeping on. But you don't rush. Let's make this party the real cold crush. Let's scream, let's shout. Let's turn this function out and keeping on. But you don't quit. Let's make this party the show off.
Once upon a time, not long ago, everybody had on their radio. And then the fella came on with a group in noise to put the wiggle in the women, men, girls, and boys. The word got around about three cool cats who put the foot back in the pack. And let me tell you, party people, just who we be. With the help of Big Bank and the Master G.
So get up, slow down,
we're funk, we're bound.
Hey, the Sugar Hill Gang is in your town.
The baby doll
and all you daddy oh,
you better get ready to move your toes.
So get up,
slow down,
we're funk, we're bound.
Hey, the Sugar Hill Gang is in your town.
The baby doll
and all you daddy oh,
scream
sanctuary. Take a chill pill. You go ah, 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 ooh, ooh. Sugar Hill Gang, we take no slack. Don't wear driving rings or drive big cars, but the people just treat us like movie stars.
He goes dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diggy, diggy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diggy, diggy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diggy, diggy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diddy, dang, diggy, diggy.
It's up my back, it's around my neck, woo ha! Got the molar jig. See, it's up my back, it's around my neck, woo ha! Got the molar jig.
Let's scream, let's shout, let's turn this function out and keep it on. Don't rush, let's make this party the real gold crush. Let's scream, let's shout, let's turn this function out and keep it on. But you don't quit, let's make this party the show.
Well, I'm the master G, and I'm the best. All the ladies say my voice is rated X. I'm a Dutch of lightning, I taste the fire. Well, I'm the master G, and I'm your desire. Young ladies, I said I rock the nation, cause I got my own transportation. I can rock just about any age. So let your fingers do the walk and do the yellow fame.
Get up, slow down,
rip on, rip out.
Hey, the Sugar Hill Gang is in your town.
The baby doll
and all you daddy old,
you better get ready to move your toes.
So get up,
slow down,
rip on, rip out.
Hey, the Sugar Hill Gang is in your town.
The baby doll and all you daddy old,
scream it out and say, yo, hit it,
shake it, don't break it, cause I know we can make it.
You go ah, 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 ooh, ooh.
And if you're ready to party and you're ready to jam, scream it out and say, I am,
I am
somebody,
somebody.
Yeah, you know you're hot. You go ah, 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 ooh, ooh.
I think Wanda Walker fell out in the spirit, y'all, and it happens here on Devil
Nation.
Oh,
yes, I did.
And
oh, I hit that
fell out in the spirit,
man. I didn't realize because I was jamming, and we were talking roundtable discussion. So we have caller number four. Welcome, caller number four. How are you tonight?
How are you doing this evening? This is Tara Strength. I'm enjoying the show. How are you doing, Ms. Wanda?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
Okay. So I was listening to this conversation. This is a very,
I said, what do you think about our subject?
it's a very interesting conversation. Your topic is hot. So what I was wondering was the question I have for your guest is this part of that whole woke conversation that's going on out there? I got into a conversation about this with my son where I guess we try to accept everything. It's a way of accepting this whole. Have you guys heard of that? The whole woke discussion, whether you woke or not.
No, this is not part of the woke conversation. The woke conversation has everything to do with African Americans becoming aware of the injustices that have plagued us since we set foot on this country. And not only have we started to vocalize that, we've started charging our politicians to address it. So, yeah, the woke is really us putting their feet to the fire once and for all and not letting up.
You know what?
We've been
doing this, Terrence. You know, we have a host right here since 2017. The name of his show is what? We Will Wear You. Huh? Honey Bakatu has been talking about this for 6 years, okay? And what the young lady just said really embodied what Honey has been doing for 6 years, trying to awaken the dead. You know, going back to not using Bible scriptures, but I'll use this one, Ezekiel chapter 37. We talked about, you know, will these dry bones live? And in our community, we have a lot of dry bones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I hope that answered your question. I would like to know more about your son's conversation now that you have that answer. But okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Go ahead, caller. Okay, so I'm going to go on to the next round of questions because we have them. While we were on break, I had made a very profound statement, I believe, and I said to Tina and my other guests here, you can't be an effective representative if you're living a lie. So, Tina, what do you have to say about that?
There's nothing much to say about it. You can't be effective in any leadership role, whether it's politics, the boardroom, the classroom, you are living a lie. It requires honesty because people are looking at you. So the last thing you want to do is be caught in a lie. The only person that seems to be okay with being caught in lies is Trump. Everyone else pays a price for it. So it's a requirement. It's a requirement.
Okay. What do you think bothers straight people so much about gay people or people's sexual preferences? And then, listeners, we have a treat for you because we did look up the alphabet. And so I'm going to read it off to you, but I'm going to let Tina answer this question.
Thank God.
Thank God, Wanda. Yes.
Thank you, Wanda. Thank you.
Yes.
The LGBTQ community,
yes,
plus,
Tina,
minus, and
up,
question,
yes,
mark.
Yes, because we have it. We have it for you, and we learned some things over the break, and I'm going to make sure I read that off. But, Tina, what is it about being gay, or what is it that scares straight people so much about being gay? Now, I think you touched on it earlier, but now we're going on to the second half of our show, so touch on it again. You said about the insecurities.
Yeah, most people that are homophobic is because they haven't gotten to a level of acceptance about their own sexuality. Like, it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. You don't have a problem with another person's sexuality. But how about this? Any component of a person, unless you've gotten acceptance of it for yourself. So when I come across people that are homophobic, my first thought is, okay, are they gay? Are they in the closet? Do they even know they have gay tendencies? Because that's usually the case.
Okay.
And they want to deflect from themselves. And that's extremely true with men. Men are very homophobic. And it took a gay man to tell me this. He said, when I get in a situation and a man just refuses to interact with me completely, he says, I know automatically he's in the closet.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I need some callers to call up. Now, when we were on the break, before I read this alphabet to you, I want to ask this next question. Conservative versus liberal. With this alphabet that I'm getting ready to read and all that comes with it, I asked Tina, is there such thing as being a conservative gay person versus a liberal? Do you go for all of these pronouns and alphabets or not? And your answer, Tina, conservative versus liberal.
Pertaining to your sexuality?
When we talked about it, we said conservative. Were you accepting of all these alphabets and titles?
No.
And so that would be what you considered more conservative?
No, not at all. I don't agree with all these labels. Why is it so necessary? Why is it so necessary?
Division.
Well, check this out. How many forms of heterosexuals are there?
One.
You sure?
I don't. I've never been challenged. I don't know.
So if you're gay, why are there so many labels associated with being gay? Either you're gay or you're not. You're heterosexual, you're transsexual, transsexual, whatever. But all these other labels, I mean, come on.
Okay, so I'm getting ready to go into these letters, please, people. And totally out of respect, I'm just reading it. I'm trying to understand it. It says the LGBTQ plus alphabet. That is literally what it says. And then you have LGBT, you have LGBTQ, you have LGBTQIA, you have LGBTQQIAAP, and you have LGBTQAP plus, and it says, consider LGBT as the base or the functional or the foundation. So Q stands for queer or questioning. I'm not making this up, people. I stands for intersex. A stands for Ken. Ken stands for asexual, aromic, and agender or ally. P stands for pansexual. The number two, stands for tooth, and the plus sign acknowledges that there are many other sexualities and genders, identities, which are not included in the acronym. Okay, so I hope that helps. And I want to say, okay, Tina, we have caller number five. Hold that thought, Tina. Let's get to caller number five. Caller number five.
Yes. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Dr. Chinchilla J. And very interesting show tonight. Very interesting. And, yeah, the alphabet, you know, I say in a few years, you know, we're going to have the whole darn alphabet with this thing, because every year there's some more letters added on, and now they even have the double letters. And so it's just crazy to me. Perspective.
You're absolutely right.
On this, with all and descriptions of being gay or homosexual, to me it sounds like a bunch of chaos and confusion. And you know, to me, people are confused. They don't know what they want to be, especially the queers. They don't know what they want to be, whether they want to be a man or a woman, you know. Or it's just craziness to me. And the way things are now in this world and America, this country is going to hell, quick fashion, in a hurry. We have all this violence, we have all this corruption, and now, you know, we have all of the government behind people just going against the principles of the Bible. And I don't have a problem. People can live the way they want to live. They can make their own choices because God gives us all a choice. However, it goes against the principles of the Bible. And it sickens me because pastors now that are condoning it and, you know, people condoning same-sex marriage and they're supposed to be upholding the principles of God, but yet they're condoning homosexuality and they should not. So I have a problem with pastors that do that. I have a problem with just anybody that says that they're a child of God, but yet they're not following the biblical principles and guidelines as to the way we're supposed to live. God created man and woman, male and female, not two men, not two women. Two women cannot procreate. Two men cannot procreate. God did not make Adam and Steve or Madam and Eve. He made Adam and Eve, and that's to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And we're being depopulated in all types of ways today. And if this continues with same-sex marriages and all of that stuff, and then our men being killed off and in jail, guess what? We're going to be depopulated so fast because it's happening now. And there's going to be no more children being born. And so, you know, it's just craziness. And with them allowing children to decide at these young ages that, hey, I don't want to be a boy now. I'm a girl. I should be a girl. Parents allowing it, and then states that are allowing the children to make those decisions without their parents, and they can go and get their sex change and, you know, this identity and all that stuff, and propaganda all on TV with gay men kissing on commercials, and every time you turn around and sit now, and in movies and every show, you see homosexual. And if people want to live that lifestyle, hey, that's their choice. But don't force it to, you know, accept it and be subjected to all of that. So to me, that's my perspective on that issue. But, you know, I am enjoying the show. And Tina, hello to you tonight and everybody else.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Chinchilla. And we're going to go back to Tina. I hear what you're saying. You went really deep there. You went into the changing of the sex, the effect it has on children, social media, what the Bible says. The Bible was written by King James, and King James also wrote books on devil worshiping. I brought up that question earlier today to Tina, and I had said, you know, that it was even mentioned in the Bible, so this had to be going on. So, and if God is the one that's supposed to make he's the one that's supposed to judge, then why should I be the one judging someone? There's certain things that maybe I should have a say-so over, like my children, somebody else's preference. Tina, back to you.
You know that some humans are born androgynous. They're born with both sexes.
Yes, they are. I know that as a biology major, degree, what have you.
Well, I know that because I used to read a lot of
keep it up here. Don't discount my pink skin.
No, that's the only reason why
You're right.
So, you know, I don't agree with a child having their sex change. I don't agree with that. First of all, the body's not fully developed. So I got a problem with that.
Go ahead.
I got a problem with even giving them hormones at a child because their body hasn't developed.
Absolutely.
Now,
right.
Once they turn 18, the sex change process is very involved.
Yes, it is.
First of all, they have to go into treatment, mental health treatment, for 2 years before anything can start to occur.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not an overnight process. So that's the only thing I have a problem with. That's the only thing I have a problem with in terms of sex changing. I don't understand it. I don't understand why people feel so overwhelmed to do it, but that's their personal preference. I only have a problem with the children, okay? Now, I brought up the androgyny for a reason, because if you want to rely on what was said in the King James book, that thing they call the Bible that they live by, if you really go through that book, you're going to find... find a lot of hypocrisy. You're going to find a lot of statements that get canceled out by other statements. So what are you to believe? What is it that you are supposed to believe? You know, it really comes to preference, and that my preference is just as acceptable as yours.
You're absolutely right. Let's go to caller number 7 in the queue. Caller number 7?
Caller number 7, are you there?
This is Tiana Fuchs. How are you?
Hi, Tiana. How are you?
Hello, baby. I'm good.
Very good.
I have two questions. I want to know your opinion on one, but I want to know at what point in, you know, when all this is going on, does a person decide what pronoun that they are? Like, at what point in their life do they change it? And I feel like this. I feel like it's unfair for the people who don't identify that way. And the reason why I say that is because all my life I've known, like, he and she. And at this point in life, we're getting, you can get jail time and things like that in different places for just calling somebody the wrong thing. How are you supposed to remember every single person's pronoun? Because they could change it next week. They could change it next month. And then, like, so what are you supposed to do in that particular thing when that could happen to you? You can get in trouble just for speaking something that you've known for 30, 40, 50 years, even 60, 70 years, when you may not understand it. I don't have a problem with people identifying whatever they want to identify with, but it's just, what do you do at that point as a person when you aren't, like, that's not your reality? How are you going to remember every single person? Like, let's say you're a boss and you have to call this person, you know, they or whatever. How are you supposed to remember all of that as a person?
I understand your question. I don't think that you can. I think that if you're in a work environment and you pretty much know your workers' names, and once they tell you something out of respect, you remember it and go with the flow. But as far as being jailed for mixing up or mixing a pronoun or something, that has to be retracted. That's only going to be able to go as far as we let it go. It's nonsense like that that doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't think I would pay it too much mind, you know, and I've found ways around that just by saying hi, that makes it safe, you know, or like Brother O spoke about addressing somebody by their name, you know, and so that way that sort of stops it. But let's see what Tina has to say about that.
I call everybody boo. I can't remember names, and I definitely can't remember titles. I literally call everybody boo. I've actually had people ask me, please don't call me boo. Okay, not a problem. But man, woman, child, dog, cat, hey, boo, how you doing?
Yeah.
Keep it real simple.
We're coming close to closing. I want to make another statement that I think is very important that Tina and I spoke about earlier today, and I wanted to look up some numbers, but I didn't get them. I did post something on my Facebook page, but it's about young people, particularly young and black people. Young black people, for the first time ever, our suicide rate for our young kids have surpassed the white suicide rate. And that is very scary. And when I think about this topic, I think about people when they're younger, maybe being confused, maybe being isolated, bullied, feeling like they don't belong. And I would hate to think that we would be so cold that we don't show compassion and understanding for other people and whatever going through to a certain extent, because this is real. Necessarily understand it, but I want to be open to their life. Me for who I am, and I don't want to think, and I don't want to close this session out without thinking about the ramifications that come with isolating someone, not respecting their choices, and so on and so forth, or maybe forcing someone to live a lie that they don't want to live or do things they might not want to do. So, Tina, what do you want to say to that?
It's highly unfortunate that the suicide rate among black and brown children and youth has surpassed whites. And I can honestly say that I don't think it's their sexuality is the driving factor, because young people in general are more openly gay than we have ever been in this country. They don't have a problem with sexuality. It's a whole lot of other factors like bullying, comparing themselves to the falsehoods that are displayed and promoted on social media, trying to fit in with crowds they really should not be a part of, being left and isolated from groups that they really shouldn't be a part of, but are made left to feel left than when they can't be part of those groups. So that rate has increased. It has. I really don't think the sexuality component is the main factor. I think a lot of it, 98% of it most likely, has to do with the influences that are being shared on social media.
Thank you very much, Tina. I've given my closing statement why I chose this topic tonight, because it's a topic nobody else touched on. It's a topic that we talk about. It's something that I saw during the primary elections and so on and so forth. And I wanted to have a better understanding, and I wanted to bring a different view, a topic, to the listeners. And believe it or not, this went by pretty quick, and we did not finish all the questions that I pulled up. Brother O will let me know whether or not this topic really got people's attention or not, and if it's more on the positive as far as the listeners and the numbers are really high, then maybe next month we'll do a part two to this. And if not, we won't do a part two. And maybe if not, we'll still do a part two. I don't know. It remains to be seen. I'm quite sure people will call me and let me know what they thought. It would have been nice if more people called in and gave an opinion of what they thought. They could have done that without even giving their name, if they're afraid of some type of repercussion or so forth. But I appreciate everyone listening tonight. And now it is Ngozi time.
Party people, party people, can you get funky? So sign it for, can you get funky? Don't do you make it, can you get funky? Yeah, just hit me. Just hit funky.
Now, listen, we started our network in 2013 on the task of having, and his name was Star Henderson. I had to stop the music because, you know, this is a network that is, you know, freedom is encouraged. We've had some great, great hosts to come on this network to represent the lesbian, gay task force community, period. Star Henderson, Splash Frazier, and Jerick Thomas. So, you know, everybody's voice must be heard, period. That's why we do it. You know, we don't have censorship on this network. If I start to do that, then I quit. Before I sell out, I get the hell out. So that's why I love this show tonight, and I love all opinions that were shared tonight, because that's what radio is all about. We must hold up, you know, our journalistic standard, and I want to thank Wanda Walker for that. Of course, tomorrow night, we're not on. And all the folks out there in the Philadelphia area, listen. Tomorrow, uptown Philadelphia, we're having an outstanding cookout at Finley Playground at Mansfield and Upsall. So anybody get a chance to, you know, enjoy, you know, the cookout tomorrow, I will be there and represent, you know, where I came to, from Compton. I moved with my mom and pop, moved to West Oak Lane, section of Philadelphia. So I'm from uptown that way. We're at Martin Luther King High School. Y'all know what it is. You know what I mean? Let's do our thing tomorrow. It starts at 12, ends at 7. So all the folks in the Philadelphia area, join the Uptown Cookout tomorrow, Mansfield, Upsall, Mount Airy. You know what time it is, right? Sunday, we come back on with the great Dr. Chinchilla J, the 2022 wonderful Anna Waddell Award recipient, the WBNN Host of the Year. We'll be on with News Forum, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time, on the one and only Beverly Nation. And, of course, WBNN has advertising through Ghosty Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter. And, of course, Ola Deli Malewa and Ghosty at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight? Ola De Leda and Ghosty Remind gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malewa and Ghosty saying good night and good luck. So all the folks out there on Armed Force Radio support us on a constant basis. And now back to the talker. You better believe it. Wanda Walker.
Thank you very much. I'm going to sign out with Tina saying her last words. And I want to say thank you, Tina, for doing this with me. This is my first time having a co-host in person. You did a fantastic job. It was a lot of fun. It was easy.
Wait a minute. There will be a part two. There will be a part two. Yes,
okay.
There will be a part two.
You heard it from Brother O. So if he says it's a part two, we're doing a part two, and Tina will be a part of that, and I might bring in some more people. It depends. We need some well-behaved, quiet people that cooperate. But it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. This was really, really informative, eye-opening, respectful, considerate. You know, and all of the other positive things above, and that's what a true radio is all about. No censorship, you know, different topics that include everybody, you know, so no one feels left out. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Brother O, for this opportunity. I really appreciate all that you have done for me, for the listeners, for the world, for the city, and you make it possible for someone like me that is so passionate about our city, our world, our people, to actually have a voice. And I believe that giving me this voice is going to really open up some eyes and awaken some spirits. And we're going to start making some changes in Philly, you know, just by doing things like this. It's organic. You can't deny it. You can't stop it. And you know I can talk, so I'm going to keep on doing that. And good night.
Hey.